Well, this is our very first Deeper Christian Life Conference, and I am thrilled to be here. I'm honored to be here, and I am so glad you came. I have a lot on my heart to share with you, and we are going to be doing a lot of group exercises. I'm going to put a visual prop up here. You can see. What is this? It's a backpack. That's correct. In Matthew 11, Jesus said, "Come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." I want to repeat that. "For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." How much does your Christian life weigh? I want you to imagine that you are carrying a backpack. Feel the straps on your shoulders. Can you feel them? We're going to be putting some weights in that backpack that you're wearing. And I want you to imagine that each of those weights is a black cannonball. Okay? And each cannonball represents a religious practice that you are expected to carry out in order to be a good Christian. Now, I'm going to put a lot of cannonballs in your backpack. And collectively, I call all of those cannonballs the Christian expectation. The Christian expectation. They are what countless Christians expect you to do in order to be a good Christian, in order to have favor with God, and in order to make God happy. Here are those cannonballs that make up the Christian expectation. And every time I mention one, I'm going to tell you how much it weighs, and I want you to feel it drop into your backpack, okay? All right, here we go. You must pray every day. That cannonball weighs 40 pounds. Feel it drop in your backpack? You must read your Bible every day. That's 30 pounds. You must witness to someone about Jesus every day, 30 pounds. You must go to church every Sunday morning and every Wednesday night, 70 pounds. You must tithe 10% of your income on gross, not net. That's 80 pounds. You cannot listen to secular music. That's 20 pounds. You must vote Republican. And that's usually 20 pounds, but this year it's 50 pounds. You can't have any tattoos on your body. That's 20 pounds. You feel the weight adding up? Your backpack's getting pretty heavy now, isn't it? We're not done. You can't wear a hat inside a building. That's 5 pounds. Thank you for laughing, by the way. You must own only one television set, 30 pounds. You must pray over every meal. Every meal, even snacks, 30 pounds. You must homeschool your children, 20 pounds. You must only watch PG movies. G or PG? 30 pounds. You can't watch TV shows that contain violence or zombies, or both. 50 pounds. You can't drink alcohol, ever. 30 pounds. You cannot see a psychologist or a psychiatrist. 20 pounds. You cannot take medication unless it's an over-the-counter drug. 20 pounds. You cannot work on Sundays. 20 pounds. You can't smoke a cigar or a pipe, 20 pounds. You can't celebrate Christmas even if you're focused on the reason for the season. No Christmas trees, no Christmas lights, no exchanging of presents, 10 pounds. You can't allow your kids to go Easter egg hunting, 10 pounds. You can't own a gun, 10 pounds. Now, if you're a woman, there's some more added, I'm afraid. You cannot cut your hair. You can't wear earrings, makeup, or jewelry. That all adds up to about 50 pounds. You can't wear high heels. And one preacher who preached that was asked, well, how high is a high heel? And he needed a week to think about it. He got back and said, 1 inch is high. And another one disagreed. The elder on his staff disagreed and said, no, I think it's 1.5 inches. Wow. This is what legalism does. Creates insane arguments. Anyway, you can't wear clothing that exposes any of your legs. 30 pounds. Now, sisters and brothers, that's the Christian expectation, and your backpack weighs over 600 pounds. Can you feel the straps cutting into your shoulders? But we're not done. We are now going to add the entire law of Moses to your backpack. That's 613 laws. Yes. That weighs 800 pounds. Now try to walk. Kind of hard. In fact, it's impossible. Yet this is the way that countless Christians live their life every day. We weigh ourselves down with the Christian expectation until we cannot move. And make no mistake about it, moving is living. And the slower you move, the faster you die. Now, there's a string attached to the bottom of this backpack. And during the course of this conference, I'm going to be pulling on that string. Every time I pull on the string, some of the cannonballs will fall through the bottom. And God willing, at the end of this conference, your backpack will be empty.
Amen.
And you will be unhindered in your movement. You'll be free to move like never before, and your yoke will be easy and your burden will be light. I'm trying to make a point by this illustration, and that is this. Every one of us in this room has been affected by the bondage of legalism in one degree or another, and in one form or another. If you're a Christian, you have been affected by legalism in one form or another. Well, what's legalism, Frank? Legalism is the human attempt to earn God's favor, to make God happy, to put a smile on his face by keeping rules, regulations, laws, standards, and expectations. Legalism is the human attempt to earn God's favor, to make him happy by keeping rules, regulations, laws, standards, and expectations. There are four kinds of legalism among Christians. Number one, this type of legalism says that you must believe in Jesus to be saved, and you must obey God's law as well. So if you want to be saved, believe in Jesus and follow God's law. And some denominations actually teach this. Even today, you have to obey God's law and believe in Jesus, or else you're not saved. That's the first type. The second type You must believe in Jesus to be saved, but you must keep God's law to stay saved. So believing gets you in. Obeying God's law keeps you in. The third type, which is very common today in many Christian circles, it says that you must believe in Jesus to be saved, but you must obey God's law to gain his favor and to make him happy. Very prevalent. Believe in Jesus to be saved, but keep God's law, obey God's law, observe God's law to earn his favor and to make him happy. And then the fourth type of legalism, which I think is the most prevalent of all. You must believe in Jesus to be saved, but you must fulfill the Christian expectation, which I just went through with you, in order to earn God's favor and to make him happy. You see, the Christian expectation is some preacher's personal convictions placed on everyone else. That's really what it is. All the things I ran through represent some preacher's idea, their own personal conscience, their own personal convictions thrust on everyone else. And whether we realize it or not, we have been affected by legalism in some form. Legalism is innate to humanity. You know where it started? It started in the garden. There were two trees. And God said, well, you have two choices. You either live by my life, which is in this tree, the tree of life, or you live by your own efforts and you decide what's good and evil. And that's what legalism is. It's your effort to be good. Let me put it another way. If you're a Christian in this room, you probably have been exposed to the bait and switch gospel. Now, let me tell you what the bait and switch gospel is. Here's the bait and switch gospel. Here's the bait. Come just as you are. Doesn't matter what you've done. God loves you. God accepts you. God receives you. Because it's grace. So come as you are. And so you accept the bait, right? You come as you are. And it's wonderful. Your past is erased. You're singing songs. The birds are chirping and you hear them for the first time. Everything turns from black to technicolor. Then you start going to church. You're listening to sermons and reading Christian books and listening to Christian radio and watching Christian TV. And listening to Christian podcasts, and the message changes. There's a switch. And now the message is, God's holy, you're not, try harder. If you've heard the bait and switch gospel, would you raise your hand, please? All right, most of you have heard it. And whether you realize it or not, most of us have been affected by it. I would dare say, if I had money hidden in my shoes, I would bet good money that every one of you in this room, and I know it was true of myself, has been affected by the bondage of legalism in some form and in some degree. And as I said, my hope, my prayer, is that by the end of this conference, by Sunday, you will, number one, realize that you have been affected by it more than you realize that now. And number two, you will be completely set free from every form of legalism that exists. Amen. And your backpack will be empty, and your burden will be light, and your yoke will be gone. Why? Because that's how you love the Lord Jesus Christ more, sinners. That's how you move forward in His life. That's how you grow spiritually. You actually love Him more when He sets you free. Now, there's one book in the New Testament, beyond all others, that takes dead aim at the plague of legalism. And in this conference, for the first time in my life, I'm going to attempt to unveil this book to you. I'm going to try to give you the key or the keys to unlock it. And I use the word try because this is my attempt. This is my heart. This is my goal. And that book is Galatians. So what we're going to do is we're going to immerse ourselves in Paul's letter to the Galatians. And I really need 3 months to do justice to this letter. But we have 2 days. And Sunday morning. So we're not going to walk through it, we're going to run through it. My goal is to approach this book in a very unique way. I would put it to you this way, we're going to look at Galatians in 3D. We're going to approach it in a different way than is common or normal. And by that, I hope that the Lord will open it up to us so that we will really get at its message. And if we do that, I assure you, it will change something inside you. And I believe the end result will be you will love the Lord Jesus Christ more than you do right now. Amen. So that is my hope and that is my prayer. Now, the great scholar F.F. Bruce made the comment that when you read the New Testament letters, you're hearing one end of a phone conversation. Which is true, because Paul's writing, James is writing, Peter's writing, and they're responding to something. That something is the other end of the phone conversation. And so to understand a book in the New Testament, you really have to understand what went before. You really have to grasp the background. Once you understand the background, and I learned this in my own life, years ago, once you understand the background of a New Testament letter, it enables you to understand most of the letter. Maybe not all of it, because New Testament letters are quite complicated. You see it like you've never seen it before, and you understand things you would have never understood otherwise. And it rings like a bell. So, what I want to do is I want to reconstruct the other end of the phone conversation. I want to tell you a story. The story that preceded the writing of Galatians. Let me say this for those of you who are scholars in the room. There's a good bit of debate about certain events in the timeline among New Testament scholars. And I had waded through all the logic chopping and all the arguing and the disputing among scholars about when did this happen? Did this happen? Did it happen this way? Did it happen that way? And you could just have your head spin endlessly by reading all the stuff. But what I'm going to present to you is what I believe happened based on the best evidence that I've come across, the best arguments that I've come across. And then I'm going to add a little bit of color and drama, maybe add a little bit of dialogue to make the thing come alive. But the story is based in first century history.